And welcome to Pull the Other One. This is David Frost introducing three characters in search of an author who are going to solve some of life's little riddles in this week's edition of Pull the Other One. And they are none other than Frank Carson Ken Dodd and Dame Hilda Brackett. Our other contributors, of course, are the many people to whom daft things have happened. People like our old friend Bernard Braden, who once had to halt the recording of one of his television shows because a mysterious hammering could clearly be heard from the rear of the studio. Bernie went to investigate and found that the noise was being caused by a man hammering a sign to the wall outside. The sign read, quote, "Silence, please, recording in progress." But the rest of these tales, we're not going to give away all the details. We're only going to give away half the story and see if this incredibly distinguished panel before me can explain the rest.
Dame Hilda will be giving us the woman's point of view.
Of course.
Yes, because I know in the audience we have some friends from USA, and over there they are very big on equal rights.
Right, they are. Yes, indeed. Yes,
indeed. Equal opportunities.
Yes, indeed. And that was the fellas who were shouting.
Are you chauvinistic, Frank?
Oh, yes, indeed. You're joking. I read all these books. And not only that, I love the pictures.
Yes.
You're getting a very nice warm welcome here.
I am delighted. I feel, you know, like a rose between two thorns.
Yes. And that's what she's sitting on the outside. It must be an Irish rose. The thorns on the inside.
What, Dame Hilda?
There's only the one.
Yeah. Since you are one of the upper crust.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll pardon the expression.
You know, of course, quite right.
Grapes on the table and nobody's sick.
Yes. Do you take your seat in the upper chamber?
Oh, frequently, yes. Unless the bolt goes on the door, but I'm more or less.
I'm seeing
you. Are you entitled to sit in the.
Yes, I am, yes. And Evadne, my partner Evadne, for those of you who don't know her, she's the old doctor who shares my house. You know, she is very jealous, you know, when I go to the house and I sit and I listen along.
And you go to what?
The house.
One must
do that.
Some people from USA. If you want to speak, sort of like an aristocratic interview, you have to say heist.
Heist. Yes.
It's not house.
Or heist. The train.
Could we have heist, please? One, two, three.
Heist. You see that? Yes.
But I can say
already.
An American, having traveled extensively there for 3 days, I can tell you that actually heist over there is a hold up.
It's a heist.
Put your hands up your bum. Put your hands up your own bum. Mr. Frost, could you excuse me? I've forgotten what the question was.
I should apologize to our visitors.
So would I for not remembering the question.
You sitting next to me, I'm saying.
I think we have to welcome Dame Hilda.
It is forgivable that Frank had forgotten the question because he hasn't had one yet.
That question is this
one. Haven't you had one yet? Have one now, dear, with your glass of water.
Right, starting now with a story in a Norfolk newspaper of odd goings-on at a local garden centre. It seems that bewildered staff were unable to oblige a woman who wished to make a purchase at the seed counter. What was it she wanted that they could not supply?
A black pudding bush.
Well, this always reminds me of the lovely story of the fellow who went in the optician and said, can I have a pair of glasses? And the optician said, well, you'd need one. This is the grocer's. So the optician sold groceries as well. You see how I made a mistake in the story and still got a laugh.
God,
and I understood every word of it, so it must have been.
The whole of the all the troubling creation started in the garden of God when Eve started to get leaf curl. And none of us would be here today if Adam hadn't sprayed himself against blossom and rot.
as Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and if she hadn't, do you know they'd still be in the Garden of Eden playing ping pong?
No, they wouldn't. They'd be reading the Reader's Digest. We've got very, very posh garden. Notty Ash Gardens are famous. We don't get trouble by slugs. We have escargots.
Arthur Escargots.
Arthur Escargots.
Dame Hilda, what do you think the woman was wanting from the garden centre?
Now, if I was going into the garden centre, what would I be buying? Secretaires, or wanting my shears sharpened, or some extra heavy-duty gloves for a bit of close work?
She went in there and had a wooden leg and said, I got woodworm in my crutch.
She was a short-sighted lady. She went to the garden centre. She wanted to go to the restroom.
Yes.
She went in there, and there was a man in there with two wooden legs. She fell over and said, who the hell's left a handcart in here?
Or she might have went in and said, said to the girl behind the counter, don't I look primrose?
You
yes. Just supposed to.
I do indeed.
Yes.
Yes, I
well, do. I find out now that's good, because I planted some conifer bushes the other day.
You but can't get conifer bushes, you can only get conifer trees.
What I want to know is
that's why it didn't grow. Well, there you are now, conifer bushes.
I mean, an audience, if you think about it, an audience is like a garden, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Look at this lovely audience here now. We have one or two early bloomers. One or two wallflowers on the back there. Hands up all the pansies. Anybody called Rose in the audience?
Yes.
Are there any Rose?
A Rosaline.
There's Rose. Hello, Rose.
Hello,
what
Rose.
What sort of a Rose are you? Are you a rambler or a creeper? Are you better against a wall or a... Have you been bedded up? an audience is like a beautiful garden.
It is, isn't
and
it?
And it's up to us to nurture them now and try and make them bloom.
Yes. And if they don't, they're not like the audience, we should just manure them. She was only a gardener's daughter, but all the horse manure.
Yes.
Well, you're allowed one of those in the program.
You're groaning at that. It's taken us 11 programs to get him safe to say horse manure.
Well, let me explain what happened. How the woman defeated the garden centre was by asking for seeds that would grow mushy peas.
Well.
Next, we go to the Iron Curtain. Suspecting that eggs were disappearing from her hen house every day, a Czechoslovak housewife set a steel trap in her backyard for the polecat she guessed was responsible. Why did her catch in the steel trap surprise her?
Frank Carson's wife has got a marvellous way of timing her eggs.
Really?
When he stops talking, they're hard-boiled.
Well, I think what has happened here, she's gone out into the backyard, and it wasn't a polecat at all that was in there.
It was a ginger tom carrying a greased omelette pan.
I think what she's done is she's caught the next-door neighbour who was stealing the eggs, and she battered him. Oh. Well, hold on, I haven't finished. Because our American friends at the back do not understand this part. But actually, in fact, let me just say to these American friends about the back, they speak different English from us. I mean, I spoke to a man the other day...
Everybody speaks different English to you.
Yes, but not as stupidly.
Oh, no.
No, because...
No, that's an art form, you wouldn't do.
Well, if you don't want a bit of culture on the show, we'll just leave the Dame Hilda.
Well, I was just wondering, it only says that she suspected eggs were disappearing. Doesn't say they had disappeared. She suspected they were disappearing. I think the hens were burying them. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I knew a hen. I knew a lady had hens that next door to a rubber factory, and one hen laid the same egg 11 times.
I was once trapped behind the Iron Curtain. Some of the things these stage managers will do to stop me getting on the stage.
That was Hugh Hippodrome, wasn't it?
Yes, everywhere.
Yes. Set the steel trap. Who was responsible for a polecat? Now, why did the cat... It was obviously the man next door.
Exactly. Yeah. Or else the woman next door was very fond of omelettes. Or she could have been a discus thrower training with omelettes.
Ken was the closest there.
How was the closest? With the man next door?
Because, in fact, the Czechoslovak housewife was shocked because she actually caught the real culprit, not the next-door neighbour, but her husband.
Ah.
And there he was in the steel trap. He was selling the eggs to pay for his secret drinking. So you were very close.
A secret
very
drinking.
Close there, Kenneth.
I remember a friend of mine ringing me up one night and saying, I've got a terrible problem. A friend has just brought me, from Dublin, a liter bottle of Black Bush whiskey. He said, I'm in terrible trouble. I'm an alcoholic. What will I do? I said, stay there. Do not touch it. Will I bring my own glass?
And so we come to On the Spot. This is the point in the show where we put our guests here into a difficult corner, a tight spot, and see if they can argue, climb their way out. This is their dilemma for this week. A friend has asked you to go and see him in a pantomime, and you accept his complimentary tickets. But the show is terrible. The principals can't sing, the chorus can't dance, and Dick Whittington's cat has the mange. But the worst thing about it is your friend's performance. He keeps forgetting his lines and is totally ill at ease. Pathetic. As the curtain falls, you prepare to slip gratefully away into the night. Then you remember. You promise to join him for a drink backstage where you will have to discuss his performance. What do you do, Dame Hilda?
Oh, I think if I had to suffer that, I'd probably go up to the nearest phone box and then ask to speak to him, you see. And say, I'm sorry I missed your show tonight, and I was so looking forward to coming round for a drink, but a friend of ours who's also in the business fell, broke her ankle, I had to go on and slap my thigh for 2.5 hours.
You see, this is where the upper crust comes up. You see, that's a lovely expression, and I was going to make fun of that, and yet I just can't, because Dame Hilda has put forward an expression which even I am carried away, and I love being in your presence.
What was it? Because
I was having a
Frank movie. Carson,
pull the other one in BBC.
What was it?
I don't know. I had a guy that actually I forgot the end of it again. I wish I'd prepared for these things.
Pantomime. I think pantomime is the most wonderful part
of the theatre.
Pantomime. It's like a world of make believe. It's like a job centre.
Yeah. Or Alibaba and the 40 Counselors.
Frank Carson was in Cinderella last year.
Yes, indeed.
He played the pumpkin.
Well, I remember being...
Somebody said, what are you playing, Frank? Buttons. You know I'm on good money this year.
Of course, I remember I was in a panto. It was so bad that people were looking their money back during rehearsals.
This Dick Whittington show I was in once, he used to stand up at the end of the show, the whole audience standing up, he stand up and shout, bring back the cat.
Well, I was in a lamp and his wonderful lamp. I used to get well oiled every night.
You played the wick.
Yeah, he got the sack.
But what would you do? You've got to go backstage. Your friend has been dreadful. What do you say? What do you
do? I would think I would.
We always lie.
Yes, you do.
Theatre people always like.
Smile.
And call them darling.
Yes.
Oh, darling, you're a marvel darling.
Entertainers and actors are really, to understand entertainers and actors, you have to know that they're like children.
Children, so they are.
We love applause. Yes. We are love starved.
Oh, boy.
We are love starved. We need all the love and affection and gratitude. And if there's anybody listening for any old clothes,
please listen. Oh, can it?
No, we do. We crave affection, and that's why whenever we see her, we'll say, Frank, you were... No, we don't say that at all. I refused you last night, and I'm refusing
you. Card.
No, we always say to each other, you are fantastic, wonderful, marvellous. And the show could have been awful, but we always say,
And there's always that lovely little quotation. If you like someone, you say, how was the business? Say, the theatre was half full, and if you don't like them, say it was half empty.
The people I don't like are the ones who come knock on your dressing room door and say, darling, it's lovely to see you. Can I use your toilet a minute? Yes,
will you move away from the sink?
Can I use your toilet?
No.
you're in it.
Now,
You play that acoustic.
Yes. Well, yeah. I was the last punter I was in last year, I took three curtains and got nicked for doing it.
You have to believe that every show is going to be the greatest show you're going to do in your life.
Do you use makeup? You're a natural-looking clown. tell me, Ken.
No, I hate the listeners realizing
you're talking to Ken if they're not. I'm very beautiful, lady.
Thank you. Oh, a sweet man.
I'm what they call, in theatre, I'm a matinee idol. I told you, you're a matinee idol. I've always been cursed with good looks.
Yes.
It's always been like I have to try twice as hard.
Rugged good look. Rugged.
A lot of people say I've got a ruddy cheek. Especially when they're wearing the accent. Now, I've always had this. I believe it or not, I was a very beautiful baby. People used to come from miles around just to hold a candle of my cot and have a look.
I always have been the light that was attracting.
When I was a little baby, my mother always knew. I was such a happy baby. I was this big smile. Then she realised she was parting the wrong end. I was a bottle baby. Then one day I pushed the cork out and escaped. Look, can we get back to this?
Well, I don't think you've solved the problem.
Yes, we have solved. We have.
I think you'd all be pretty embarrassed when you went backstage.
I must insist, of all the problems you've ever given to us on this series, this is the one we're all agreed on.
Yes.
We have solved the problem because what we would do is the same as any other actor would do. We'll go around and congratulate them on a wonderful, fabulous performance.
Yes, indeed.
And so let me take in the same spirit and say that was a brilliant, wonderful piece. Marvellous answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. And so, agony answer.
And wonderful audience. Thank you.
And now we want you to solve a problem for the nation.
Easy.
It's the problem from Desperate of Taunton.
Easy, please.
Desperate of Taunton sent us this anguished heart cry.
Get me out of here.
For years, I've corresponded with a pen pal I've never seen. She says. Now he's proposed marriage, I've accepted, and we're about to meet for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble is, I'm 55 and have been sending him pictures of me when I was 20 years younger and 4 stones lighter. He flies in from Australia this week and it's giving me ulcers. What should I do?
I don't think she has to do anything, actually. She's saying, trouble is, I'm 55. Well, it's a wonderful measurement. A lot of ladies like to be. What about these girls who are only small 32s and small 34s? 55, I mean, I don't think Raquel's is.
No, it's just he flies in from Australia this week and has given me answers. She might get a shock if he comes in long enough to lie down.
But how does she explain? She's 20 years older. Than
you expected. Four stones heavier.
Yes.
What do you say, Damon? You see, I mean, the point is, we're imagining that he's young. I mean, he might be even older than her, and he's been cheating her as well, you see.
He's a toy boy. Wind him up. This lady, every lady can enhance herself.
Yeah.
This lady should try the Cambridge diet. You're bound to lose weight jogging to Cambridge every day, you mean.
Especially if you started eating.
He's coming in from Australia. Well, they have some very wonderful native habits there.
Yes, especially...
Kangaroo meat.
Say, well, he didgeridoo.
That's not a very nice custom. They do have kangaroo...
Kangaroo meat, yeah. If you know what a kangaroo is, that's an Irish kangaroo.
Do you know?
Yeah, without the parts.
Listen, do you know what a kangaroo is? It's
no.
A Scotsman locked in the toilet. A kangaroo!
In other words,
kangaroo meat. Kangaroo meat is very easy to serve in a restaurant because it automatically comes with a pouch full of gravy.
Yeah, I remember. A young girl was only married 3 days, and she made her husband a kangaroo stew, and he hopped it.
And what's wrong with it? Is she ashamed of herself? She's ashamed of the house. You think yourself lucky.
Our house
is so untidy, the gypsies have reported us to the council.
Well, there's another problem here, talking of exercise. This is a 25-year-old Londoner. My doctor says I should take more exercise. He specially recommends jogging. The trouble is, I live in a bedsitter in Camden Town, and I can't go out as I'm wanted by the police. Is there any suitable exercise I can take indoors?
Well, this should be the Australian who's come. He's become domiciled in London. And he's wanted by the police. I wonder what he's wanted for. Could be doing his Christmas. A friend of mine was arrested, and the police were dreadful. He was arrested for doing his Christmas shopping too early. He was in his shop before it opened.
Two friends of yours saw that note. Men wanted for a halston, and they applied for the job.
I remember this could be one of the fellas of the police actually looking. They sent a picture to the Irish police, and they wrote back and said, "We caught the fellow on the outside and the one in the middle, now we're looking for the fellow on the other side."
Any advice for this?
By using the badges, a trampoline.
Gentlemen, Dame Hilda?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would move from Camden Town.
All right, well, that's
some advice. Every morning, punch the bag for half an hour, unless he goes to work early, of course.
That's the advice for the man in Camden Town, basically to move. Research scientists recently formed a view that falling in love, getting a divorce, losing your job, or moving house can all give rise to the same disagreeable condition. Falling in love, getting a divorce, losing your job, moving house. What might that condition be, Frank?
Hysterical laughter. Or committing suicide.
Love is blind. That's why most courting is done with the lights out. You know.
Well, see, my wife is a very beautiful girl. In actual fact, she was Miss Northern Ireland in 1947, and last year she was third in Horse of the Year, you would remember it.
These research scientists, they're clever. They've got everything, a finger on every button today. Yes. They say stress is a terrible thing. Now, meditation. The Americans will tell you that.
That's good meditation.
Every morning, I
transcendental meditation.
Every morning, I cross my legs.
Yeah.
I put my right foot on my left thigh, and my left foot on my right thigh. Then I stand on my head and let one word run through my mind.
Yeah.
Help!
I saw you one night, and you thought you were very clever doing that transcendental meditation, and you stood in your hands and opened your legs out, and somebody used you for an ice tray.
Have you, Jane Hilda, do you go into this aerobics thing?
Oh, yes, I meditate, do you know?
Do you?
Oh, I have to, yes, before a performance.
I've got one of those special workout tapes by Jane Fonda. You know, well, I've got two, actually. I bought a new one last week on Golden Pond, but you can't work much of a sweat up to it, you know.
Falling in love, getting a divorce, losing your job, or moving house. What do you think, Dana?
Well, I think it would probably bring on an irritation, like an itch, you know, and that sort of thing that brings you up in blotches and things like that. It was like me when I was in Italy, when I was training for a life in opera many years ago with Signor Ernesto Bonorovoce. And he was a wonderful man. I was under him for 3 years.
I heard that from me too.
He really was. It was lovely.
Pasta kitchen next year.
Yes. And of course, he taught me everything. I learned the rhythm method from the beginning to end. It was amazing. Deep breathing every morning.
The rhythm method, you use that in Ireland, you know.
Where the hell can you get a drum, though, at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Moving house is like losing an old friend. I remember when we moved house, it was in Belfast.
It was also in the middle of the night.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you're quite right, Ken. The moon was shining.
It was.
Yes. I was in bed.
You're pushing this handcart down the street. The next door neighbor said, "Frank, where are you going with that load?" Firewood.
This is lovely. I remember as well, we had a three-piece suite.
Yes.
Two bonbons and the liquor is all sorts. Yes, it's the most traumatic moving.
Well, in fact, the explanation, friends, is this. The scientists in question were at the Common Cold Research Unit in Salisbury, and they reckoned that colds can be caused by stress arising from a change in circumstances, whether for better or worse. So any of the things listed could...
Oh, well done, eh? Right on cue, eh?
Very good.
I know what you're going to say, Mr. Frost. You were that scientist.
We don't know whether their theory was right or not, because we'll never know, as they've closed the unit down. So
good.
We'll never know.
Good,
we've just
good
got time
for, good riddance.
For one last tall tale. Can
All
you
right.
explain about the Irish radio interview?
No.
When two members of the Irish Animal Liberation Front agreed to be interviewed on Irish radio, they feared that their revelations might lead to prosecution. two members of the Irish Animal Liberation Front. What elaborate precautions did they insist on to protect themselves?
They dressed up as gorillas.
You can always tell when you've tuned into Irish radio, because the first program every morning is the epilogue. You know, on Irish radio, they always read the news backwards for people who are deaf.
Yes, well, I can remember a news item, and that was the body of a man believed to have been murdered 600 years ago was discovered in Donegal Hills, and the Garda Síochána, which is the Irish police, are on the lookout for a 642-year-old man to help them with their inquiry.
How do you think they solved this?
Well, if it was Irish people and they're on radio, they probably didn't want cameras there, did they? But,
did you have any Irish relatives, Tim Hilda?
I didn't have any. I've got some. Yes. And I'm Irish on my mother's side and Scottish on my father's, you see.
I thought you were Scottish by absorption.
Well, I remember a friend of mine walking into the pet shop and saying to the owner, "Can I have a wasp, please?" He says, "We don't sell wasps." He says, "There's one in the window." Yes, it always amazes me about the animal liberation people. I mean, they must eat steaks and all, mustn't they? They must eat food, they must eat...
No, not necessarily, no.
But animals get liberated.
No, of course they do.
There was that mouse who went into, I think it was, you know, Chappell's music shop to buy a mouse organ.
Oh.
Yes.
He said, "That's funny, there was a mouse was in here this morning asking for exactly the same thing."
It must have been harmonica.
Well, in fact, what happened was, although it was radio, the Pat Kenny radio show, to conceal their identities, the two Irishmen insisted on wearing balaclava helmets throughout the show. For now, this is David Frost saying thank you for joining us on behalf of Kenneth Dodd, Franklin Q. Carson and Dame Hilda Brackett, Andrew Palmer, Nell Brennan, who devised and researched this little epic, and, of course, our producer, Edward Taylor.
Well,
we hope you'll be with us again next time. It's time to pull the other one.